ハイエコンサイナーバラクサイナーバラクサイナーバラバーバイテラスレバーバデナマストバデンデシャバハイ
So Krishna, Yudhishthira is continuing talking to Yudhishthira. Excuse me, Yudhishthira is continuing talking to Krishna. Yudhishthira said, I have wished to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. That sacrifice, however, cannot be performed by one's wishing alone to perform it. Thou knowest, O Krishna, everything about the means by which it may be accomplished. He alone can achieve the sacrifice in whom everything is possible, who is worshipped everywhere, and who is the King of Kings. My friends and counselors approaching me have said that I should perform that sacrifice. But, O Krishna, in respect of that matter, thy word shall be my guide. Of counselors, some, from friendship, do not notice the difficulties. Others, from motives of self-interest, say only what is agreeable. Some again regard that which is beneficial to themselves is worthy of adoption. Men are seen to counsel thus on matters awaiting decision. But thou, O Krishna, art above such motives. Thou hast conquered both desire and anger. It behooveth thee to tell me what is the most beneficial to the world. Right, so he's mentioning here is that he's taken from the counselors, he's heard everything. Because this is so grave, then he wants to have Krishna's opinion, because counselors then will act in three different ways. It means there are those who, out of friendship, won't notice something that's wrong. Yeah, yeah, no, it'll work. You know, they're encouraging. Then others, because they have their own motives. Therefore, then they'll agree with it because they think they'll get some benefit, or, you know, you'll some way be pleased with them, and so they'll get benefit. And in some way, they're just being politically correct, right? Then the third one is that they themselves think it's great, so therefore it's great for everyone. It may not be great, maybe great for them, but not for the king, but because whatever they think, the rest of the world, atmavan manyate jagat, so therefore they're like that. Does that make sense? Right? So therefore then they're taking counsel of Krishna. So the ones that out of friendship don't say, then that's another thing. It's at least a relationship is there. The other two, it's simply self-centered. Right? We can see. They're still counselors. You know, they're still performing their duties, but one is political correctness, and one is, you know, they think they're the center of the universe. Right? So generally we see is the last two are more prominent these days. Section 14. Now we're going into Rajasuyaramba Parva. Right? So we finished that Parva where we explained all the Shabbas. And now Rajasuya. Krishna said, O great king, thou art a worthy possessor of all the qualities essential for the performance of the Rajasuya sacrifice. Thou knowest everything, O Bharata. I shall, however, tell thee something. Those persons in the world that now go by the name of Kshatriyas are inferior in everything to those Kshatriyas that Rama, the son of Janamejaya, exterminated. Right? Does that make sense? Means, in other words, the Kshatriyas that are there now, then are worse than the ones than Parasaram killed because they weren't behaving as Kshatriyas. Right? Because right? he did his tour in Treta Yuga. Right? So their thing was that they would probably manage their kingdoms well, but they were proud, so they didn't respect the Brahmins how they should. So now it's like, you know, the neglect, that's improper. But now it's like the demoniac qualities completely. So it's that plus more. O Lord of the earth, O bull of the Bharata race, thou knowest what form of rule these Kshatriyas, guided by the instructions traditionally handed down from generation to generation, have established amongst their own order, and how far they are competent to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. The numerous royal lines and other ordinary Kshatriyas all represent themselves to be descendants of Ayla and Ikshvaku. The descendants of Ayla, as indeed the kings of Ikshvaku race, are know, O bull of the Bharata race, each divided into 100 separate dynasties. The descendants of Yayati and Bhojas are great, both in extent and accomplishments. O king, these last are today scattered all over the earth, and all the Kshatriyas worship the prosperity of those monarchs. At present, however, O monarch, King Jarasandha, overcoming that prosperity, enjoyed by their whole order and overpowering them by his energy, hath set himself over the heads of all these kings. Jarasandha, enjoying the sovereignty over the middle portion of the earth, Mathura, resolved to create a disunion amongst ourselves. I don't think it's so much Mathura. May have influence there, but it's more towards, because he's in, maybe it means up to Mathura. Because he sits in Bihar. Resolved to create a disunion amongst ourselves, O monarch, the king who is the Lord Paramount of all kings and in whom alone the dominion of the universe is centered, properly deserves to be called an emperor. O monarch, King Shishupal, endued with great energy, hath placed himself under his protection, means Jarasandha's, and hath become the generalissimo of his forces. O great king, the mighty Vaka, the king of Karushas, capable of fighting by putting forth his powers of illusion, waiteth upon Jarasandha as his disciple. Okay. Vaka, because he gets... that must be someone else. There are two others, Hansa and Dimvaka, of great strength and great soul, who have sought the shelter of the mighty Jarasandha. There are others also, namely Dantavakra, Karusha, Karava, Megavahana, who wait upon Jarasandha. He also that beareth on his head that gem, which is known as the most wonderful on earth, the king of the Yavanas, who hath chastised Maru and Nataka, whose power is unlimited, and who ruleth the west like another Varuna, who is called Bhagadatta, and who is the old friend of thy father, hath bowed his head before Jarasandha. Has bowed his head before Jarasandha by speech and specially by act. In his heart, however, tied as he is by affection to thee, he regardeth thee as a father regardeth his child. O king, that lord of the earth, who has his dominions on the west and south, who is thy maternal uncle, and who is called Purujit, that brave perpetrator of the Kunti race, that slayer of all foes, is the single king that regardeth thee from affection. He whom I did not formerly slay, that wicked wretch amongst the Chedis, who representeth himself in this world as a divine personage, and who hath become known also as such, and who always beareth from foolishness the signs that distinguish me, that king of Vanga, Pandra, and the Kiratas, endowed with great strength, and who is known on earth by the names of Pandrika and Vasudev, hath also espoused the side of Jarasandha. Okay. O king of kings, Bhishmaka, the mighty king of the Bhojas, the friend of Indra, the slayer of hostile foes, who governs a fourth part of the world, who by his learning conquered the Pandyas and the Kratakaushikas, whose brother, the brave Akiriti, was like Rama, the son of Jamadagni, hath become a servitor to the king of Magadha. Where his relatives and are, therefore, engaged every day in doing what is agreeable to him. But although we regard him such, still he regard us not and is engaged in doing us ill. O king, without knowing his own strength and the dignity of the race to which he belongeth, he hath placed himself under Jarasandha's shelter at sight of the latter's blazing fame alone. Bhishmaka, that I know of, is, yeah, Rukmini's father. So that's what he's saying. He is our relative. We're dealing with him as such, but still he's, you know, engaged in doing us ill. O exalted one, the 18 tribes of the Bhojas, from fear of Jarasandha, have all fled towards the west. So have the Surasenas, the Bhadrakas, the Vodakas, the Salwas, the Patacharas, the Shushtalas, and the Muktas, and the Kulindas, along with the Kuntis. The king of the Shalwana tribe, with their brethren and follows, the southern Panchalas, and the eastern Koshalas, have all fled to the country of the Kuntis. So also the Matsyas and Sanyastapadas, overcome with fear, leaving their dominions in the north, have fled to the southern country. And so all the Panchalas, alarmed at the power of Jarasandha, have left their own kingdom and fled in all directions. Some time before, the foolish Kamsa, having persecuted the Yavanas, married two of the daughters of Jarasandha. They are called Asti and Prapti, and are the sisters of Sahadeva. Strengthened by such an alliance, the fool persecuting his relatives, gained an ascendancy over them all. But by his conduct, he erred great obloquy, O-B-L-O-Q-U-Y, obliquely, but there's no L, just oblique. Okay, don't say the why. He has earned great oblique. Okay. The wretch also began to oppress the old kings of the Bhoja tribe, but they, to protect themselves from the persecution of their relative, sought our help. Having bestowed upon Akrura, the handsome daughter of Ahuka, with Sankarsana as my second, I did a service to my relatives. For both Kamsa and Sunaman were slain by me, assisted by Rama. But after the immediate cause of fear was removed by the death of Kamsa, Jarasandha, his father-in-law, took up arms. Ourselves, consisting of the 18 younger branches of the Yadavas, arrived at the conclusion that even if we struck our enemies continually with excellent weapons, capable of taking the lives of the foes, we should still be unable to do anything unto him even in 300 years. He hath two friends that are like unto the immortals, and in point of strength, the foremost of all men endued with might. They are called Hamsa and Dimvaka, who are both incapable of being slain by weapons. The mighty Jarasandha, being united with them, becomes incapable, I think, of being vanquished even by the three worlds. O thou foremost of all intelligent men, this is not our opinion alone, but all other kings also are of the same mind. Right? So Krishna here is using, you know, he himself is not disturbed naturally by anyone, but he's coming here for that whole, the whole rasa, the whole kshatriya thing. So unless there is the whole politics, unless there is different levels of kshatriyas, unless there is these things, then how do you have interaction? If he's, I'm God, hey, we'll just take care of him. You know, it doesn't have anything. So he's saying, is, oh, you're very, very powerful, this and that. Because in ordinary terms, compared to others, they are. But when it comes to Krishna does fight, then he is Krishna, then he defeats them. Right? But the point is on ordinary terms, they are very difficult to defeat. So he's taking that mood. And then he's saying, it's not just my opinion, it's others, right? If he just says, well, that's my opinion, then you might take it, might not. But he says, others also take. So we have to worry about this. Because the main point is he's talking about how the others are so powerful. Right? This is the fun point. The others are so powerful, no one can defeat them, this and that. And then greater than them is Jarasandha. And so he holds them all together. So they're all under his rule, right? So then, what does that mean? So therefore, all we have to do is go and kill Jarasandha, and then the whole thing's finished. Right? You know? So this is, you know, how Krishna will play with the whole thing. Yeah, they're so great, we can't defeat them. And, you know, Jarasandha's the greatest, but if we defeat him, then they're all defeated. Hey, you know, so it's easy. You know, so it's very interesting how Krishna does all these things. Otherwise, then you think it's all them, but then he'll bring it to the one, and then you just have to defeat one. Hey. Oh, thou for. There lived, O monarch, a king of the name of Hamsa, who was slain by Rama, Baladev, after a battle of 18 days. But, O Bharata, hearing people say that Hamsa had been killed, Dimbaka, O king, thought that he could not live without Hamsa. He accordingly jumped into the waters of the Jamuna and killed himself. Afterwards, when Hamsa, the subjugator of hostile heroes, heard that Dimbaka had killed himself, he went to the Jamuna and jumped into its waters. Then, O bull of the Bharata race, King Jarasandha, hearing that both Hamsa and Dimbaka had been killed, returned to his kingdom with an empty heart. After Jarasandha had returned, O slayer of all foes, we were filled with pleasure and continued to live at Mathura. Then the widow of Hamsa and the daughter of Jarasandha, that handsome woman with eyes like lotus petals, grieved at the death of her lord, went unto her father and repeatedly urged, O monarch, the king of Magadha, saying, O slayer of all foes, kill thou the slayer of my husband. Then, O great king, remembering the conclusion to which we had come of old, we became exceedingly cheerless and fled from Mathura, dividing our large wealth into small portions so as to make each portion easily portable. We fled from fear of Jarasandha with our cousins and relatives. Reflecting upon everything, we fled towards the west. There is a delightful town towards the west called Kushastali, adorned by the mountains of Raivata. In that city, O monarch, we took up our abode. We rebuilt its fort and made it so strong that it became impregnable even to the gods. From within it, even the women might fight the foe. What to speak of the Yadava heroes without any fear of any kind? I mean, it's built so well that the women can even fight there with no fear. Like that, you know, let alone then the great, great warriors. O slayer of all foes, we are now living in that city. And, O tiger of the Kuru race, considering the inaccessibility of that first of mountains, and regarding ourselves as having already crossed the fear of Jarasandha, the descendants of Madhu have become exceedingly glad. Thus, O king, though possessed of strength and energy, yet from the oppressions of Jarasandha, we have been obliged to repair to the mountains of Gomanta, measuring 3 yojanas in length. Right, so that's 24 miles. Within each yojanas have been established 1 and 20 posts of armed men. Right, so within 8 miles there's 120 posts of armed men along the mountain. At intervals of each yojana are 100 gates with arches which are defended by various heroes engaged in guarding them. So this is what's on the land. Right? So you have the Raivata mountains and these the mountains of Gomanta. So it's 24 miles of mountains, and then if you get through that, then only you can go into the sea to get to Dwarka. At intervals of each yojana are 100 gates with arches that are defended by various heroes engaged in guarding them. Innumerable kshatriyas, invincible in war, belonging to the 18 younger branches of the Yadavas, are employed in defending these works. In our race, O king, there are full 18,000 brothers and cousins. Ahuka hath 100 sons, each of whom is almost like a god in prowess. Charudeshna with his brothers Chakradeva, Satyaki, myself, Baladev, the son of Rohini, and my son Samba, who is equal unto me in battle. These 7, O king, are Atiratas. Besides these, there are others, O king, whom I shall presently name. They are Kritavarman, Anadrishti, Samika, Samitinjaya, Kanka, Shanku, and Kunti. These 7 are Maharatas. There are also 2 sons of Undakaboja, and the old king himself. Endued with great energy, these are all heroes, each mighty as the thunderbolt. These Maharatas, choosing the middle country, are now living among the Vrishnis. O thou best of the Bharata line, thou art alone, thou alone art worthy of being an emperor. It behooveth thee, O Bharata, to establish thy emperor over all the Kshatriyas. But this is my judgment, O king, that thou wilt not be able to celebrate the Rajasuya sacrifice as long as the mighty Jarasandha liveth. By him, having been immured with his hill fort, numerous monarchs, like a lion, hath deposited the slain bodies of mighty elephants within a cave of the king of mountains. O slayer of all enemies, King Jarasandha, desirous of offering in sacrifice 100 monarchs, adored for his fierce ascetic penances, the illustrious god of gods, the lord of Uma. It is by this means that the kings of the earth have been vanquished by Jarasandha. And, O best of monarchs, he hath by that means been able to fulfill the vow he hath made relative to his sacrifice. By defeating the kings with their troops and bringing all of them as captives into his city, he has swelled its crowds enormously. We also, O king, from fear of just Jarasandha, at one time had to leave Mathura and fly to the city of Dwaravati. If, O great king, thou desirest to perform this sacrifice, strive to release the kings confined by Jarasandha, and also to compass his death. O son of the Kuru race, otherwise this undertaking of thine can never be completed. O thou foremost of intelligent men, if the Rajasuya is to be performed by thee, you must do this in this way and not otherwise. This, O king, is my view on the matter. Do, O sinless one, as thou thinkest. Under these circumstances, O king, having reflected upon everything, taking note of the causes, tell us what thou thyself thinkest proper. So now he's told him, but at the same time, it's up to him to make the decision. And he's asking, so, having heard all this, now what do you think? Right? So then that means you know then what he's thinking, what his angle, you know whether to further give advice or how to give advice, right? Or not give advice, like that. So you see, it's a dialogue. It means when you say something, it's up to the other person to consider it, take it, right? Then you hear from them. Then considering that, then you say something again. Does that make sense? It goes back and forth. It's not because you said it, therefore it has to be done. Right? That's for, you know, how you say it. The king himself, when he says, that's what's done. But when he's dealing with advisors, he'll mention the scenario, ask their advice, they will give how their perspective, then they will say, it's up to you, now what do you consider? And then they'll go back and forth until the king can come to some conclusion. Does that make sense? Right, so that's how, you know, counseling or advising works. Section 15. Yudhishthir said, intelligent as thou art, thou hast said what is none else is capable of saying. There is none else on earth who is shelter of all doubts. Behold, there are kings in every province employed in benefiting their respective selves, but no one amongst them hath been able to achieve the imperial dignity. Indeed, The title emperor is difficult of acquisition. He that knoweth the valor and strength of others never applaudeth himself. He indeed is really worthy of praise, who, engaged in encounters with his enemies, beareth himself commendably. So it's someone who actually knows others doesn't compliment himself. Right, he'll be, you know, thinking about, oh, Krishna didn't say, yes, we are so powerful. If he did say, is we made a fort that is very powerful, and it is well guarded. But he didn't say, hey, we're the most powerful, you know, city and kings on the earth. He's saying, Jarasandha is powerful, all these are powerful, that together is an alliance. Plus, he's taken so many kings as captive. So now, if you defeat Jarasandha, you break down all those other kings who will be broken up into individual kingdoms. It'll be easier to defeat them. And those 100 kings that you save, they'll all be your allies. So now you have 100 kings that are allies, and you have all the other ones who are being weakened in strength. Right? But you didn't hear him talk about his own strength. Right? He mentioned Baladev then, you know, was doing something. And he simply said, we tried to help our relatives. Right? Like that. Does that make sense? So that's the culture. So therefore he's behaving in that way. Right? So he said you should do it, but these are the obstacles, but this is how you can get it done. Right? In other words, the friendship has remained. He's encouraged him, told him this is what you should do. At the same time, he's told him actually what you're up against. Not saying, oh no, it's nothing. No, he's told him actually what it's up against. Then, having done that, he again encourages, you can do this, and you can do it by this solution. Does that make sense? So that way, someone's supported, you've said what you've said, you've made it practical, but you leave it up to them, and you want to hear what they have to say. Right? So this is the method of exchange. O thou supporter of the dignity of the Vrishni race, man's desires and propensities, like the wide earth itself, adorned with many jewels, are varied and extensive. As experience can seldom be gained but by traveling in regions remote from one's home, so salvation can never be obtained except by acting according to the principles that are very high, compared with the ordinary level of our desire and propensities, right? It means, in other words, you'll get wisdom by traveling and seeing, because it broadens your perspective, right? You think everything's like this, so it's done like this. When you see so many other people are doing things so much different, but you know human nature is the same. Therefore, it broadens and deepens how you're going to view it. In the same way, you have to travel from the place where you are now and your desires and needs to these lofty ideals, you know, then one will attain liberation, right? One will be freed from the material world by trying to attain to these higher principles and following those principles. Does that make sense? So we see movement is still always the example, right? Water is purified by movement, right? So everything happens by movement. And rasa, that's compared to water. So rasa is kept purified and kept, you know, nice by constant activity, constant endeavor. As soon as the movement stops, it gets stagnant. Right? Does that make sense? I regard peace of mind as the highest object here, for from that quality may proceed my prosperity. In my judgment, if I undertake to celebrate the sacrifice, I shall never win the highest reward. O Janardhan, endued with energy and intelligence, these that have been born in our race think that someone amongst them will at one time become the foremost of all Kshatriyas. But, O exalted one, we're all frightened by the fear of Jarasandha, and, O sinless one, by the wickedness of that monarch. O thou invincible in battle, the might of thy arm is my refuge. When, therefore, thou hast taken fright at Jarasandha's might, how should I regard myself strong in comparison with him? Madhava, O thou of the Vrishni race, I am repeatedly depressed by the thought whether Jarasandha is capable or not of being slain by thee, by Rama, by Bhimasena, or by Arjuna. But what shall I say, O Keshava? Thou art my highest authority on everything. Right, so now he's saying is that one has to try to attain for something that's higher, and that will give you freedom. So all the Kshatriyas are trying to obtain, by their nature, they all want to be emperor, right? Or at least think about it. Maybe they'll never be it, but they think about it. You're in the kitchen and you take the rolling pin and you hold it very tightly, and you give your speech on when you receive Academy Awards and what you're going to say and all that, in front of your cabbages and cauliflowers. It was a great event, like that. So, like that, then he's saying that the kings are all thinking like that, but he feels that if he endeavors for the sacrifice, then, because peace of mind is the best, by peace of mind you can attain everything, because then you can properly see and move forward. That will be lost by doing this sacrifice. One, it would be, he has the anxiety about, Jarasandha. Two, then, all the arrangements there. Three, now becoming emperor, then he might become proud also. And then the other side is saying Jarasandha is also a problem. And not only that, if Krishna thinks he's a problem, was afraid of him, then what about himself? But at the same time, he says, I'm completely dependent upon you, so what do you think? Right? So they're doing the same thing, back and forth, like that. It's like they're presenting what it is, but at the same time, relationship is kept. Right? If I just say, you're afraid of him, I'm afraid of him, so what am I supposed to do? Right? But where's the relationship? All it's saying is, making an observation of the field. You're afraid, I'm afraid. Then? So it leaves it in fear. So the relationship is fear. Right? It says, you're afraid of him, I'm afraid of him, but I'm dependent upon your arms, you're great, you're powerful, so what's your opinion? So relationship is kept intact. Does that make sense? So that's always important, that is to keep the relationship intact. Whatever you say whatever you like, but it's fruitful as long as you keep the relationship intact. As soon as the relationship is not, that's when it breaks down. Does that make sense? Because if there's a relationship, people then know how to talk, how to move forward, how to discuss, how to make plans, but the relationship's not seen, it breaks down. Then why am I talking to you? Right? Does that make sense? Very, very important. Right? This whole thing, being pragmatic, keeping it down to, half sentence, paragraphs. Great. As long as it still keeps the relationship intact. But if it doesn't, this bluntness, this grossness, this just being honest Prabhu, and all that, is impersonal. It has nothing to do with human life. Maybe practical, but it's not human. Like that. So you have to decide whether your practicality is going to include human life, or you're happy, just being, a non-human, bourgeois. That's it. You're happy with that? Hey, it's popular. Why should I, get in the way? On hearing these words, Bhima, well skilled in speech, said, that king who is without exertion, or who, being weak and without resources, entereth into hostility with one that is strong, perisheth like an anthill. It may be generally seen, however, that even a king that is weak may vanquish an enemy that is strong and obtain the fruition of all his wishes by wakefulness and by application of policy. In Krishna is policy, in myself strength, in Arjuna triumphs. So like the three sacrificial fires that accomplish a sacrifice, we shall accomplish the death of the king of Magadha. Right? So he's saying, if someone's weak without and doesn't, if someone doesn't make endeavor, someone is weak, someone's without resources, then you'll have a problem. But between the three of us, we have all of that. Right? So therefore, we can accomplish this. Krishna is the best at you know, the political field. He knows best how to do this. I am the strongest. And Arjuna always triumphs. So between the three of us, then, hey, everything will happen. So don't worry. He's also encouraging. Like that. Because otherwise he's saying, okay, Krishna couldn't do it, or how am I going to do it? He's saying, no, the three of us will do it. Krishna then said, one that is immature in understanding seeketh the fruition of his desire without an eye to what may happen to him in the future. It is seen that no one forgiveth for that reason a foe that is of immature understanding and is inclined to serve his own interests. Right? So someone who's immature doesn't think of the future in trying to fulfill his needs in the present, then is not forgiven by anybody. Because he's immature, he does the wrong things. Right? But someone who is well thought out, someone who does well, that foe is the greatest foe. But that foe, you have to respect. And that foe, if you ever conquer and you're able to establish friendship, that will be your best friend. Because they are thoughtful. They are, you know, properly behaved. They do have character and culture. So they're both the most dangerous, and once conquered, they're the best friends. Does that make sense? It hath been heard by us that in the Krita age, having brought everyone under his subjugation, Yovanaswin, by the abolition of all taxes, Bhagirata, by his kind treatment to his subjects, Kartavirya, by the energy of his asceticism, the Lord Bharata, by his strength and valor, and Maruta, by his prosperity, all these five became emperors. But, O Yudhishthira, thou who covetest the imperial dignity deserves it, not by one, but by all these qualities. Victory, protection afforded to thy people, virtue, prosperity, and policy. Right? So these are all the things that the king has to function by. You rise to the top by these, not by one. Right? People will try by one, but it won't work. Because Rajasuya is not just emperor. Rajasuya is emperor where no one is opposing. Right? The other is your emperor, but you have enemies. And then they may get together and throw you out. Rajasuya means you're not in that position. Everybody accepts. Slightly different. So victory means you have to conquer, otherwise kings won't take you seriously. Protection afforded to thy people. Now if you protect the people, then you have them all on your side. They are satisfied. There's no actual reason for any other king to come forward and defeat you. Right? Because the only if people aren't being protected is there technically a right for a king to come and fight. Virtue, because by virtue then everything else will come. Prosperity, then that means your virtue is giving fruit. You've been virtuous for some time. You're virtuous today, don't expect everything goes away. Okay, I've come, I'm chanting, I go to Mangalartik, now everything should just go away. All the politics in my life, everyone should stop bothering me. I should not get sick. No one should get sick in my family. Nothing disastrous should happen. No political overturn should happen because I'm going to Mangalartik and chanting my japa. Right? So therefore, and like that. Okay, so how many years have you been doing such pious works? Right? And then how many unlimited lifetimes you've been in the material world? So just put those two together. Of course, you know, chanting Hare Krishna is way beyond, you know, any other piety or any sin, but until you know that, it's not going to go away. You understand? The holy name, one name, can destroy all the sin of the universe. Right? But do we have it that someone's done something wrong and everyone goes, this is very bad, And then you call the person before the assembly of the, you know, how you say, the senior members of the community. And then after having said, yes, I'm so sinful, I've done all this. And, you know, and so then they will say, do you want to continue this? Is this your now accepted lifestyle? And they say, no, I want to give this up. So then that they understood it's wrong, then they're purified. When they make the determination to, how you say, that they won't do this anymore, they're basically freed from the reaction in one sense. Then after that, then they say, okay, now chant one holy name to clear all this sin. They say that? No. So that's the point. The reason it doesn't necessarily fully act like that is because you don't believe in it. You believe anyone chanting Hare Krishna is free from all sin. Therefore, when someone makes a mistake, that's a minor thing. But when it becomes a major, major thing, international issue, that means you don't really have that much faith in the holy name. And you can say, no, we have to set example. What example has ever been set? What person has ever followed it? How many thieves get their hands cut off? How many thieves are still stealing? Does that make sense? So that's the point. It doesn't necessarily work. Locks keep honest people honest, but they don't necessarily keep anybody else. Thieves still come and take the locks off. Does that make sense? So it's by sadhana, by knowledge, by association, that one becomes purified. Right? Not that something isn't done about it. But that, I remember one time somebody had done something, you know, bad. Community was not very satisfied like that. So then they asked, what are you going to do about it? So I said, well, the person is going to be, you know, doing menial service for some time. You know, cleaning bathrooms and drains and stuff like that. They won't be doing their regular, you know, classes. They won't be doing their extracurricular. They won't be engaged in the recreation. Because the point is by doing service, by cleaning, you know, the temple, cleaning the dham, one is purified. Right? It's one of the five most powerful of all the ways to purify yourself. Right? So doing that dham seva, doing the clear, it cleans the heart. It's very purifying, right? Like that. Very popular by some, especially bathrooms and drains, like that. Especially those who don't like to listen to their teachers, right? Like that. Like that. The bigger the ego, then the more the cleaning. So by that, then the heart is purified. The heart is purified, then the ignorance that makes them do these things goes away. Right? But the others weren't satisfied. Oh, you're just giving some service. What about punishment? It's like, okay, why don't you come over and clean our bathrooms for 2 weeks straight, and let's see what you have to say. No, but they want some public, you know, announcement and humility and all that, and because it socially degrades you, that's actual punishment. But where's the purification? Where's the samar? Where's the feeling that you belong to a community? Okay, a community of people still living in the Spanish, Inquisition or in the Salem witch trials, great. But I don't think you can really call that strong community. You know what I'm saying? But what to do? It's extremely popular. Right? Neophytes love this position. And Sarah, you want about setting example? We're dealing with devotees. So the example is you do something wrong in Krishna consciousness, you're thrown out, then what does that say for everybody else's security? Because if you're conditioned, you can make a mistake. Bharat Maharaj, first class devotee, fell down. What about the second class? What about the third class? Right? So you tell me that that's going to make strong community and it's going to make everybody very secure to be here. Or does everybody want their own place, it's in their name, they can hand it down in generations, nobody can tell them anything, and out of my face. And is that the position that every last practically one of our grihasthas and even the brahmacharis try to establish themselves in? And why? because there's no community, no security. Because it's not based on bhakti, it's based on morality. That simple. Not palatable, but that simple. Like that, you know. Does that make sense? So that's the point. Is that it's by virtue, you know, that prosperity comes. And it's by long establishment in that you get these material benefits. But everything is speeded up by being situated in the devotional. You're situated in the devotional, then it's very strong. But that has to be your determination. Not, I'm doing service, but. And then we have the mundane but. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about, this is the spiritual, and it's spiritual. There are no buts. It's how to apply the spiritual. We came to this movement to apply the spiritual. Right? If we want to be judged materially on material standards, then we'll be judged by our own community. Why come to this cosmopolitan so-called community? We can stay in our own community. At least we know the people, they know us. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense. Yes.
You mentioned that the cleaning helps purifying the heart.
Cleaning helps purify the heart, yes.
So is it only when we notice it? Or
is it only when we notice it does it purify? No, it'll purify anyway. But if you notice it, it'll purify greater and quicker.
I see, cleaning every day.